Well, it's here, Thanksgiving Day. We've made it to another one. I guess sometimes it seems a little bit cliche, wouldn't you say, to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody? You know, we hope that it's happy for the ones that we're saying that to. In many cases, it's not. This will be a tough Thanksgiving for a lot of people, especially those who lost loved ones due to many reasons, not the least of which is the pandemic. There are so many things to be thankful for as far as our business is concerned, our family business. I'm thankful every day that I get to work with my kids and that we live in the same town, that we kind of have the same mission. Of course, it's been that way for me ever since my dad decided to become a car dealer. I don't know what would have happened to me if he had not. I probably would have gone to work for Exxon or IBM or somebody like that, selling something for somebody. I ended up following in his footsteps, which I was very proud and fortunate to be able to do. My brother decided to become a doctor, and it's worked out very well for him. You know, I'm thankful for a lot of things. Thankful for that ignorance is not a fatal condition. You know, that there is a cure for ignorance, and that's education and awareness. You know, when we're ignorant of something, it means we just don't know what we don't know, right? I mean, it's not that somebody is, you know, the S word, stupid. And, you know, there's several school teachers that listen to this show, and they always get on me when I say that word. But stupidity and ignorance are not the same thing. We try to cure a certain degree of ignorance and educate and inform on this radio show. But I think of all the things I have been ignorant about over the years and was blessed with understanding bosses. Of course, my dad was at the top of the food chain when it came to the dealership, but I'm talking about my department managers who I always worked for, always older than me, some of them more patient than others, but always never really gave me, there were a couple that gave me a really hard time, but never really gave me anything. They made me work for it, and I'm grateful for that. And I try to do that with my kinfolk here that work in the dealership and all the young people. So I'm really grateful for that. You know, I'm really grateful this Thanksgiving that God can actually work through a lowly car dealer like myself to bless people's lives, to find a way to open my eyes and let me see things that, you know, I don't know that I was always very good at seeing a lot of this stuff. Quite frankly, I was so busy that I was blind to a lot of the opportunities that I had every day in a dealership to bless people. All the customers that come through and, you know, to see somebody with their eyes cast down or somebody that's kind of dragging around and, you know, ask them, how you doing? And say, okay. You know, just taking that little extra step. Well, you don't sound okay. What's going on? You know, and sometimes they'll tell you, sometimes they won't. I can't tell you how many people have told me, well, I just lost somebody, you know, a grandfather, a mother, a father, a brother, and that opens up a door for me to share with them and things that we have done or I have done to ease some of that pain. But yesterday was just an amazing experience. I went to pick up an old car that I'd bought, a 66 Mustang Fastback, you know, just the right kind of Mustang, 80,000 original miles, bought new here in Greenville in 1966, and knew about the car. I talked to the guy. I think I mentioned this yesterday. But he just really wasn't interested in selling the car until yesterday. And so I went and picked up the car. And while we were there, my mechanics drove off in the car. And while we were there, he said, Lenny, I think there's a lady down the street. You know her husband. He just passed away, and I knew the gentleman. And she has a car she's been wanting to sell. So we just walked down the street, and I said, well, let's go look at it. So we go down the street, and there's this late model Volkswagen Beetle, 2017 model. Listen to me. 2017 model, turbo, black, beige interior. It ended up only having like 31,000 miles. Just a wonderful vehicle. I mean, I've never been a fan of front-engine Beetles, but, you know, this was a modern interpretation, and they since have discontinued them. So we knock on the door, and she comes to the door, and she says, oh, I remember you, Lenny. My husband just loved your dad. Of course, I hear that a lot. And She said, "Oh, I just need to sell this car. I tried to sell it. My kinfolk tried to help me sell it to Carvana, but they wouldn't buy it because my husband's name was on the title and mine wasn't." And she said, and then we had several other people, just people coming in and out, and it's exasperating me. And I said, "Listen, I'll just buy the car." And so I made her an offer on the car, and that was more than she had been offered. And she said, "You have no idea what a blessing this is to me today. I just love you guys." And there she was, all dressed up. She'd been in the kitchen cooking, and I looked at her hand as she was signing that title, and it was just shaking. And she was just very excited, and that I'm very thankful, you know, when those kind of opportunities arise. I'm also thankful for my 91-year-old mother. I was able to bring her home for Thanksgiving. She came home from the hospital day before yesterday. You know, I was driving down the road, and the sun was, she was kind of snoozing in the seat. I was driving her out to her house, and I'm driving down the road and looking over at her, and I just looked at her hand, and, you know, her thin skin, you know, bruised, how they get with older folks, they get real thin skin, and then she was punctured so many times in the hospital. You know, her fingers gnarled with arthritis. I just reached over and grabbed her hand and just held it the rest of the way home. And I thought about all the blessings that those hands have brought to others. You know, she has done so much in her life and career to train young people. She was over the youth leadership for Greene County for like 25 years. So classes of youth that were chosen from high schools, she would bring them together and take them on tours of factories and different types of jobs and teach them manners and etiquette and stuff like that. She was a school teacher for many years. She was also a television teacher on local Channel 2, had her own show here when that was pretty much just new pretty much in East Tennessee through ETSU. I think it was up at, can't remember, the WSJK or something like that, Channel 2. But anyway, she did that for many years, very involved in the church, very involved in just helping people in multiple ways. But, you know, I think about the times that she lifted me up. You know, I had to lift her out of the chair and into the bed. And it's, I used to do that for my dad when he was down. And, you know, it's, I think about all the times that she lifted me, you know, after a fall or into my bed. And also how she lifted me up emotionally, you know, how she always was pulling for me as her, you know, number two son. I wasn't quite as smart as my brother. I had a reading problem back in my second and third grade. And, you know, I remember her taking me to tutoring and try to get me up to the grade level with the other people. But, you know, I never felt like I was, looked down upon. I maybe that's the wrong phrase. Judged in a negative way, in comparison ways. You know what I'm saying? I just felt love. And, you know, I saw love in our household. I'm thankful for that. I wish that everybody that grows up could grow up with parents like I had. And, you know, I'll never measure up to that, but I try hard. I hope my girls do. I'm thankful for this day and this opportunity to be with you. And we'll take our first break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, I am back on this Thanksgiving edition. It makes me think about the primary victim of Thanksgiving, and that's the turkey. The turkeys that we eat come from the wild, I guess like most animals do, but they're different. The official name of the wild turkey is Meleagris gallopavo. I think I like wild turkey better. But, you know, they're native only to the Americas. Did you know that? However, I read that in the 1500s, the Spanish traders brought some that had been domesticated by indigenous Americans. Those would be the Indians, I reckon. They took them to Europe and Asia, and the bird reportedly got its name because it reached European tables through shipping routes that passed through, guess where? Turkey. That's right. So it's been popular ever since. Later on, when English settlers came to America, they were just amazed to find the same birds running wild and free that they'd been eating and raising in Europe. But they were just as good. Matter of fact, they were really good thanks to their natural diet. Apparently, turkeys like chestnuts and beech nuts and walnuts and other native stuff. But that's probably one of the reasons why Ben Franklin wanted the turkey to serve as our national emblem. Did you know that? Yes. Instead of an eagle, old Ben wanted it to be a turkey. It is a uniquely American bird. It tastes wonderful and had a lot of economic value to the colonists. But the wild turkey is just one of two species of turkeys in the world. The other is called an oscillated turkey. It comes from Mexico and Central America. You know, I knew that this was something that you wanted to learn about today on a show that's supposed to be about cars, but I just couldn't help myself. But we are going to talk about cars now. You know, certain cars have been around with us a long time. You know, I think about the cars that really stick in my memory. When I first started driving, what would that have been, 1972-ish? November of 1972, I think it's when I turned 16. My first car was here's my dad, a Chevy dealer, and he puts me in a two-door Plymouth Fury. That's right, I didn't get it. But it had one motor in it, I'm telling you, 383 with a four-barrel carburetor, and I could do some serious burnouts, but my dad did not know that. So I just kept it quiet. But I wasn't real proud being the son of a Chevy dealer driving around in probably a 10-year-old Fury. But I got over that. At least I could get from point A to point B, but then I graduated. That's right. I graduated to a Chevy Vega. Now, when you go from a Fury 3 to a Chevy Vega, you have jumped several notches. I don't know whether it's forward or backward. It's one or the other. But I felt blessed to be able to drive the Chevy Vega. I didn't know. You know, at that time, they were doing pretty good. The engines weren't melting down. One of the first attempts by the American manufacturer to build an all-aluminum engine. Later on, they figured out do better if it had cast iron sleeves or steel sleeves in the cylinder walls. So they corrected that problem. By then, the damage was done. And the poor old Vega bit the dust. But I really enjoyed driving one. But there's been some nameplates that have really stuck around a long time, unlike the Vega or the Chevy Citation or the Ford Granada. The list goes on. Ford Maverick. But you know what? The name is back. Yeah, now it's a truck, and it's a heck of a truck. And we've got, I think at Gateway we have 32 sold orders already for the all-new Maverick. You know, the Bronco was another name that's been resurrected. F-150 is not new. The F-Series truck's been around a long time. But do you remember this little car that came from Japan that really upset the apple cart for a lot of car makers? And that was the Honda Accord. It was introduced in 1976. Basically, Honda chose the name Accord because its goal with the model was to achieve harmony between society, people, and the automobiles amid the 1970s oil crisis. Now, wasn't that a good reason to call it the Accord? The first-generation Accord was offered as a hatchback with a sedan model that was added in 1979. What I remember about those cars is when you sat in the car and you're looking at the steering wheel, printed on the steering wheel, instead of seeing a Honda emblem or something, it had a Honda emblem there, but it also said power steering. You know, I would think that you would know that as soon as you grabbed and start turning the steering wheel, but they wanted to advertise it. On the back, they would put automatic. I just thought that was kind of funny, but I guess people thought all Japanese cars would have manual transmissions, so maybe they cured that. You know, another really long-running nameplate is really not a name. It's a number, the 3 Series. You know, now what is that, 3 Series? That's right, it's BMW. I remember my first BMW 3 Series. I bought a new one. I just thought it was a really cool-looking car, and I thought I could buy one and then flip it and make money. Guess what? I was wrong. I bought it and enjoyed driving it, and people said, well, why is a Chevy dealer driving a BMW? Good question. So I ended up losing money and passing that on to somebody else. Before 1975, there was no 3 Series. It was the successor to the popular BMW 2002, which was a really cool body style like those too. It was larger initially, but not any more powerful because of the stringent emission regulations that were out in that time frame. A 6-cylinder engine eventually was offered in Europe, but the U.S. had to wait until 1982 to get the inline 6. That was one sweet power plant. That was a good engine. I love BMW's engine, the way they sound, and that inline 6 was a beaut. Another really long-running name. You remember what came before the Volkswagen Golf? That's right, the Rabbit. Volkswagen decided, you know what? Let's build a plant in America. America is a good place for us to have an auto assembly plant because we don't have one there and neither does any other foreign company. So Westmoreland, Pennsylvania, I believe, is where they put that plant, and they started building Rabbits in 1966. They moved into an empty building where they completed the improvements on an assembly plant. And it was a very fuel-efficient car. It just wasn't very good. Wasn't a good car. Had a lot of problems with them. They rolled off the assembly line for the first time in 1978. Eventually, they made about 200,000 cars and employed about 5,700 people at its peak for about 12 years. Average employment was about 2,500. But they decided in 1988 to close the doors and start producing their vehicles in back in Germany, and they just didn't think us Americans were that good at building German cars. So since that, other companies have disagreed with that, and we've built a lot of German cars in this country and still do. There's a lot of Mercedes that are built here now. Mercedes S-Class is a very old name. It's been around since the early 70s. Another Honda arrived in 1973, just in time for the oil crisis. And like its big brother, the Accord, the Civic, was an economical vehicle, something that Americans were looking for. That was the beginning of the end for the domestic production, successful domestic production of small cars by Chevrolet and Ford and the likes. You know, they're building Civics and we're building Pintos. Not hard to figure that one out. Another car that's been around a long time is the Z car. Do you remember the Nissan or the Datsun 240Z? It came in 1970. And guess what? It's coming back. It's going to be just called the 400Z. And it really looks a lot like the original 280, and I think, or 240, and it'll be a great seller. Toyota Corolla's been around a long time, since 1968. Originally, I guess, called the Toyota Crown, and then they changed the name to Corolla. Both names are kind of weird. Mustang's been here. How long? Well, you know how long Mustang's been here, right? Since the 1964 World's Fair, when Lee Iacocca showed up and introduced it at the New York World's Fair. I was there for that World's Fair. My dad won a trip. I think I mentioned that on this show. Entered a contest and won a trip for a family of four to the New York World's Fair. Great experience. Didn't know the Mustang was going to be introduced there. Didn't care. I was a Chevy guy back then, so my dad didn't care either. Porsche 911 has been around a long time, since 1963. It's been a replacement for the 356. Remember the? Well, you may not remember, but Porsche had a vehicle called the 356, and it looks similar type of body style, rear engine. It's been around for a long time. Chevrolet Corvette's been around. You know how long it's been around? Since 1953. That was the first generation model, referred to now as the C1. And then they had the C2, which was the started in 1963. That was the first one in 63 was called the split window. That's the one that has a split rear window, which was not successful at that time. It was, it sold, but people fussed about not being able to see out the rear window, so they got rid of the split window. Guess which car is worth the most now? A 63 or 64 or 65? No, it's the 63. that's worth the most money. Why? Because of the split window. They have eight generations of that car. The C8 finally made the switch to mid-engine. Now it is a car that I would like. I love that car. It's beautiful. Toyota Land Cruiser's been around a long time. It's been on sale for more than half a century. The Land Cruiser evolved as a military vehicle, and it was very rugged. I used to restore Land Cruisers. Most of the ones I did were like 70, 72, 73 models. I did one 78 model and did pretty well restoring them. They have calmed down a lot. They're not as popular as they were. Ford S-Series truck dates back to 1948. So then they had the F1, F2, F3. Those are different capacity trucks. But the oldest nameplate of all, what do you think it is? Think it's a car? SUV? No, it's not an SUV because they weren't around back then. But it is kind of like, I guess you could call this an SUV. It's the Suburban. It's the undisputed oldest surviving nameplate in the United States, dates all the way back to 1935. They were essentially a station wagon built on a truck frame. In 1955, the Suburban name was also used on a GMC truck, and it's not that way anymore. But the Suburban is among the largest passenger cars on the road today and competes against our Ford Expedition. So those are some nameplates that have been around for a long time. We'll take our last break and be back here in just a second. Well, I want to wish the best to all of you for this Thanksgiving Day. You know, whether I'm sure you're not having your Thanksgiving dinner for breakfast. But I would recommend that you not load up on pancakes or eggs and bacon and sausage and stuff this morning and just prepare yourself. It's not like I'm, you know, trying to intervene in your life that much, but I just know that just how we can take on too much. I can take on too much sometimes. So anyway, I'm preparing myself. We're eating late. So be thinking about me when you're cramming it in around noontime. I have to postpone mine until like around 5 o'clock. It's a break with tradition, but I'm willing to deal with it because I'm not the boss on Thanksgiving. Well, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and we will see you tomorrow.